Welcome to the Dungeon Plunger Podcast. My name is Jason Weeb, and this is the show in which I, a real-life janitor and dungeon master, teaches you how to plunge in and run a better Dungeons & Dragons game. Without further ado, let's plunge into this week's episode. Think for yourself and question authority. Hit it! Welcome, Dungeon Plunger Union members. What's been happening, my dudes? It feels like it has been a really long time since we've gotten together and had a little chit-chat, had a little podcast action. We got a little bit of changes going on in the DP universe, and I just wanted to share them with you. Well, let me not get ahead of myself. Let's start with things. First things first. Mistakes were made. 13 is apparently not a lucky number. Last main episode, not the interview episode, my episode got a little screwed up when I put it out, and I had to re-release it. So if you got an episode downloaded where the music was a little bit off and the sound effects were a little bit off, then you got the bad episode. I did re-download the good episode, so the bad episode is called Lucky 13, and the good episode is called Unlucky 13. That's how you know the difference, okay? I tried to make it easy to figure out. One of these things just isn't the same. One of them... Anyway, you know what I'm talking about, my dudes. When I say dudes, that's all-inclusive dudes. There's dude dudes, chick dudes, any other identifier dudes. Whatever dude you belong to, that's the dude that I'm talking to. Because we're all Dungeon Plunger dudes down here. Speaking of mistakes, I got a lovely phone call from my editor. Just kidding, I don't have an editor. I got a phone call from Jason Connerly, Nerds RPG Variety Cast, and movie expert, who informed me that I was wrong. I made a statement about The Last Boy Scout. I made the mistake of saying that it was Jamie Foxx and Bruce Willis, when in fact it was Damon Wayans. Awkward. So, The Last Boy Scout was Damon Wayans, not Jamie Foxx and Bruce Willis. When I thought back to it, I was kind of like, yeah, man, that era was like the Wayans brothers era. You know, the 90s, I think it was called In Living Color, and, you know, the Wayans brothers were everywhere. And, like, in the last little while, it's been Jamie Foxx who's been, like, the big star, right? So I think that's where my confusion came from, thinking of Django Unchained and all of that. I apologize. Thank you, Jason Connerly, for setting me on the right path and being there to make sure that when I screw up, everybody out there knows it. What are these changes you're talking about there, DP? Well, as you may have heard, or may not, depending on your listening habits, and I'm not one to judge, though apparently y'all think that I'm judging you about listening to this podcast in the car. Listen, I have gotten so many comments about people being very upset for being boring and listening to this podcast in their car. I do not think you're boring, okay? If I could retract that statement, if I could go back in time, I would take that back. Because it's not boring. I think maybe what I meant to say is it's kind of traditional, you know? I listen to most of my podcasts in the car, but I also listen to them at work. Who am I to judge? Am I some kind of hypocrite? I hope not. But yes, the big news is I did an interview with Matt Finch. Jason Connerly had called in and suggested, hey, dude, I heard you talking about on your last episode that you had all these different questions about old school games. Why don't you talk to somebody who knows stuff about old school games and then get those answers? And I said, brah. He gave me a suggestion of who I should talk to. And that was definitely a person that was on my list. I'm not going to say who it was because I don't want them to think that they're number two, because you are all number one in my dungeon plunging heart. All right. But the first person that popped into my mind was Matthew Finch of Mythmere Games. And I was like, this guy, there's no way that this guy is going to respond to me. But you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to send an email and I'm going to be like, Matt, dude, you are my number one. And I need you to come on my show and talk to me about old school gaming. And I was totally expecting him to say, my good sir, do you really think that I would come on to your pathetic podcast and discuss the finer points of old school gaming? And you know what he did? He didn't say that. He said, dude, I would totally come on your podcast. And I was like, what? And he was like, yeah. And then when I actually talked to him before I actually started recording, I was like, dude, I'm like, I totally didn't think you would come on my podcast. And he was like, why would you ever think that? And I was like, well, you know, because you're like OSR royalty, you're a celebrity in our little niche of a hobby. And he was like, dude, don't even go there. And so once again, I am deeply grateful to have Matt Finch on the podcast. I really hope you guys enjoyed that podcast. I know it was one of my first published interviews, but I have an announcement. But let me just finish up what I'm saying. I really hope to be doing more interviews. I thought that was a great interview. And I know that I need to do some work to get a little bit better, but I felt like it was a good first put out onto the podcast. I've gotten some feedback already from some of y'all, and I really appreciate it. And I'm glad that you enjoyed it. And I hope that you found it useful. And I hope that the future gamers find it useful as well. Talking about interviews, I have another interview coming up next Monday. My plan, tentatively speaking, going forward, is that I'm going to have interviews coming out on Monday every week. And I'm going to have my regular show coming out on the Thursday. That's why you're hearing this on Thursday instead of Tuesday. Apparently, Thursdays were called Thor's days. I don't know. I could be wrong. Maybe I'm just making this up in my mind, and I really think that Thursday should be Thor's day because Thor is probably one of the coolest superheroes and Nordic mythological characters, but I'm getting way too far ahead of myself and off topic again. Ooh-wee! Okay, so the other thing that I tried doing earlier last week was called drive-by podcasting. So I finally got in this little mic, lavalier mic, however you say it, that clips on to your collar and has a little doodad hookup that you put onto your phone, and so that I could record while I was driving. And I had two real big inspirations. One is Che Webster, who has his little Dungeon Master Diary, Game Master Journal. I forget which one it is. I think it's GM Journal. And also Mark Rosewater, who does a Drive to Work podcast talking about Magic the Gathering. And I was like, brah, this will be awesome. So I recorded two times doing two different things to see. And I talked for like half an hour in both times. And let me tell you, the audio was absolute crap. And I was like, I can't subject my listeners to this crap. So I'm going to figure out something else. Now, maybe I can record while I'm walking. I don't know. I still want to do another like kind of deep thoughts by the Dungeon Plunger type of podcast. So stay tuned because I've got more coming up this week. I had yesterday, so today is Tuesday, so Monday, I had my youth group, and we started making characters for Deadlands using Savage Worlds, and it was a lot of fun, and everybody's super excited, so I can't wait to get that happening, and I will let you know what's going on with that. And tomorrow, being Wednesday, but this will be in the future, so this will have already happened by the time you're listening to it. So when you're listening to this, that night we would have played. So Stars Without Numbers, Traveler continues, the battle for Akrid. It's going to be awesome. I'll tell you all about it once I hear about what happens. Hopefully nobody dies. All right? All right. So as you can tell, it's been really, really busy. I do have another interview coming up, like I said, for Monday, so stay tuned for that. And it was a really, really good one. I enjoyed it. It's got a little bit of swearing and stuff in it, but you know what? We'll deal with that when we get there. I have a bunch of calls, some that were saved up from the week before, some that were new, and unfortunately, I've gotten a lot of calls, so I'm not going to be able to play everybody. So if you don't hear your call, don't fret. It will be played. Please keep calling in. I love hearing from you, and I will answer each and every one of your calls because you are the ones that make this show so freaking awesome. All right. So talking about calls, let's hit those calls, see what people's got to say, and then answer those calls because isn't that what we all want? answers. We need answers in this lifetime. And then I'm going to give you a little chit chat and hit you up with that main topic, because I was listening back to some of my old episodes and I was like, you know, I think this is what it is. I think people enjoy listening to this part. So the meaty part of the episode, the main episode, the main topic. I don't know. You let me know what you guys think. I'm just doing what I think. Okay. I'm just navigating this like a blind man driving a car, smashing into stuff, and, you know, hopefully not taking out too many people, you know? Like I said, let's get our first phone call. True story here. They're not actually from a telephone. Like, back in the day, people would actually pick up a phone and go beep, boop, boop, beep, beep. These are, like, messages that somebody left me. And, you know, maybe somebody on the other end has a phone. If you use an actual real phone to call me, let me know. Not a cell phone. I'm talking about old school touch tone. Beep, boop, boop, beep. And if you use one of those old school phones that had rotary dial, or one of those really old school phones where you had the speaker part that you held onto and then you had to hold the handle of the other thing that was like where the ear part was. Yeah, let me know if you use one of those. All right, enough blither blather. Let's do it. Let's hit that mimic mailbox.
Hello? Is this thing on? This is the Preservation Society of Mimics in the Workplace. We got a recording of an unlicensed mimic working as your mailbox. We need you to tell us immediately if you have that thing vaccinated, if it's insured, and if you have it tamed. Failure to do so may result in a fine, and you don't want one of those. They quite literally suck. So if you can tell us the information we need by the next week, we might be able to get you a mimic license fast track through. Thank you for your time. Enjoy the show. Bye-bye.
Y'all see the kind of stuff I gotta deal with? MPS, baby. Mimic Preservation Society. These guys are constantly up my boop. And, you know, I get it, man. Having a mimic mailbox is a working hazard in the dungeon. And, you know, if you guys could figure out a better way to get mail in the dungeon, you let me know. All right. Also, I just want to say, true story, I have no idea who sent this in. I have no idea who made this, but this was an actual real call that somebody sent in to my SpeakPipe. And I just think that whoever you are, wherever you are the coolest person in the universe. And I appreciate you in all possible ways. All right. Let's take our next call. K-Rod. The newest car coming from Mattel. Just kidding. We're actually going to be talking to Carl Rodriguez, because everybody knows that the GMologist has all the best information. They got the down low. And, you know, we're lucky enough to have the GMologist calling into the show. You know, not everybody gets a GMologist calling in. Some people get a proctologist calling in. And let me tell you, that's not always fun. All right. Enough joking around. Let's hear what Carl had to say.
Hey, Jason. Carl calling here. So I just wanted to comment on your Problem Player podcast, and especially on the one about the lore guru one. And I was wondering, I don't, maybe, well, they've done this for a long time, right? So a lot of games, they push forward the timeline in their lore. And I know you can always make it your own, but I reference, oh, in particular, Game World, Harn World, or Kythera in the new parlance. But everything, they have all the history up until 720 of their calendar. And after that, you're on your own. It becomes your own thing. So that kind of gets rid of that Oh, wow. There's a, I just saw a raven. Ravens are kind of rare in South Texas. I guess that's a good sign. That means the All-Father Odin is with me. So anyway, yeah, I don't know why other companies don't do that. They push the lore forward, and then, you know, people argue about the semantics. And obviously, like you made the point, hey, you know, it's your campaign. You can do whatever you want. And I, that's what I really appreciated, the old gray box from the Forgotten Realms, and that this was the first thing, and we didn't have any meta happening after that, right? Any meta story. And then they kind of, they've screwed that up since the second edition came around and had the Avatar trilogy series, whatever, and they wanted to incorporate the books into the lore and all that kind of stuff. But we've always made any campaign world we play in our own. Obviously, you can also circumvent that by making making your own home world, like a lot of people do. So, interesting point, sub-point, is that I actually recently saw Nerds of the Rings podcast or YouTube, and they actually had this scenario, like, what if Gandalf had taken the ring from Frodo when he asked, and then you have this kind of evil Gandalf, which would have been interesting. And it was actually very interesting, and I'd love to set a world or a campaign in that, like, what happens there after he... I mean, I guess the premise is that since he has both rings, he annihilates a lot of people. So, but and then he turns sort of evil, but in a good way, right? Oh, I don't know what that means. But, yeah, it's pretty interesting. So if you can find it, Nerds of the Rings, maybe I'll link it to you, DM it to you or something. But it's pretty cool. Anyway, good stuff. Talk to you later.
Hell yeah, Carl. Thank you for calling in, my dude. That's Carl Rodriguez from the GMologist Presents, a fine podcast, and I suggest that you pick it up, you listen to it, you download it, tell Carl I sent you. Now, let's talk about what Carl had to say. First of all, meta story. I really like the approach about Harnworld. That sounds cool. I've heard a lot of good things about Harnworld. I've never actually bought anything from Harnworld, but I've heard so many people who are Harnworld is one of the best gaming products out there that you can get, and there's so much stuff, and it's been going on for so long. I don't know, it feels like it's so low profile, you know, like you do hear about it, but it feels like it really flies under the radar way too much. I don't know why that is, but talking about meta story, I feel like that was something back in the 90s, at least when I started playing, where meta story was such a huge part of selling gaming books. I feel like Shadowrun did that. There was a game put out by a Montreal company called DreamPod 9, Heavy Gear. They did that, plus a lot of their other lines that they had. So they had some other systems that I'm blanking on right now what they're called. Even Legend of the Five Rings, there was another one where they just kept pushing the story forward. And I think on the one hand, it's like having an emerging story is kind of cool, and it gives you sort of an incentive to buy those books in the sense that, you know, you're going to get that overarching story. Every time you buy a book, you'll get a little bit of it. But that's the problem with kind of commercialization of selling RPG stuff. Right? At a certain point, you got to ask the question of like, how much stuff do I really need? As cool as it is, it does make it difficult. It does make it difficult to like to make the world your own world. And maybe that's what you got to say is that, okay, when I'm running my game at this point, that's it, man. This is where the timeline stops and where the new one diverges. Sort of like if you ever watched the Loki TV series where timeline diverges and a new branch is developed. Talking about Nerds of the Ring, I have never heard of this before, but it sounds pretty awesome. I like the idea of Gandalf becoming the bad guy. And it kind of makes me think, imagine taking any sort of your favorite setting and then going, what if? Stephen King, in his book on writing, says something to the effect of, that's what a good book is about. It's asking that question, what if this happened? I think creating a campaign or even just something to hang an adventure off of, but just that what if question, what if this happened, how would that affect things? So I think that's a great question to ask yourself as a game master when you're preparing to either run a campaign or run an adventure. Also, think about what if Luke Skywalker at the end of Return of the Jedi had basically accepted to take Vader's place. How different would that story have been afterwards? Imagine your players coming in and now they find out, oh, Luke Skywalker died fighting Darth Vader or something to that effect. And then all of a sudden it's like, boom, Luke Skywalker shows up and you're like, oh my God, Master Skywalker, you're still alive. And then you're like, oh no. And the next thing you know, now Luke Skywalker is killing younglings. But you know what I'm saying. Anyway, I love it. And dude, all hail Odin, the Allfather. I'm glad you saw Raven. That's got to be good luck or something. Thank you very much for the call, dude. Super appreciated. Keep on keeping on. I believe I got another call from you, Carl, but we're going to hit that one on the next show. All right, Jason Connerly's up next. Let's listen to what he had to say.
Hey, Jason, the other Jason calling you. So I'm listening to Unlucky 13, and you just answered Carl Rodriguez's first call, K-Rod's first call, and he was talking about Mega Dungeons, and you're talking about how you think using maybe 3.0 in a minimalist system would be more accessible. And it's interesting, so I'm going to go off on a big tangent here. I might leave you two calls. But recently I've dived into GURPS a little bit. And I've always, you know, I had GURPS second edition box set back, you know, when I was growing up. So I, you know, GURPS isn't new to me, but it's also something I've always kind of bounced off of. And so what I'm doing right now is messing with GURPS for solo play. And I think I've settled on third edition instead of fourth edition. And part of that is that minimalist thing is more accessible. There's just a lot more fiddliness in 4th edition GURPS. And I don't know that the squeeze, you know, the juice is worth the squeeze. So I'm kind of curious in your thoughts with that. Maybe not on GURPS, but the idea of, you know, sometimes too much crunch is, well, too much. Anyhow, interested in your thoughts. And elbows up.
Hey, Jason, thank you so much for your call. And I think that's a great question. Personally, I tend to agree with you. I think that unless your objective is to have that crunch and that's something that you really, really enjoy, my personal tastes have definitely been leaning more towards a more simplistic system. I would much rather have a simpler system, to be honest. I think about the nostalgia and I think about how much I enjoyed those years of playing 3rd edition D&D, and I think it would be nice to have a stripped down Dungeons & Dragons 3rd edition type of game. I think that Pathfinder 2, while it does probably streamline certain things and simplify certain things, I think there's still probably a lot of fiddly bits in there that you might still be able to like strip down even further. And Pathfinder 1 also added a lot more stuff. And I think the idea was is that they wanted to fill in dead levels and stuff like that that you would find in 3rd edition and make every class more useful or more, you know, just fix things that they saw as issues. So I think like if I could go back, I probably would use D&D 3.5 or 3.0, just the core rules to run something if I was going to do old school. And that's old school, right? I mean, you think about it, it's 24 years ago now that 3rd edition came out. So that's kind of old school in a not so old school sort of way. Thanks for the call, Jay. Super appreciate it. And I look forward to talking to you a little later. Take it easy. Let's take our next caller, Vincent. And Vincent had called in before, but didn't give his name, and I didn't want to out him. So let's hear what Vincent has to say.
Good evening, Jason. I just finished your podcast name, Well, Actually, and you made me think about lots of things. First off, I really like to read the Age of Sigmar book and the Warhammer Age of Sigmar book, and the narrate a story that when I play, I use the hero a little bit differently, and I really enjoy it. And when you said that you like to change the idea on what we get on a world when DMing and maybe tweak on a little bit of rule, I was curious about what is the best or the most funny situation that you changed the story to when you were DMing. I'm curious, just want to see how your player enjoyed it. Were they surprised? Well, keep on the good work and Thanks again.
Merci beaucoup pour ton appel, Vincent. J'apprécie beaucoup. And I'm going to tell you a little story about one of my favorite things that happened. So, in my Stars Without Numbers game, I created a little scenario, and it was just sort of meant to be a one-off situation. And so the crew lands on this planet, and they find out that all of the people at this particular space station that they're supposed to deliver a bunch of cargo to have disappeared. They find out that through the video cameras, surveillance, and logs, that there's a research facility that's not too far away from this particular location, and that a bunch of, they look like maybe scientists, or but they were all wearing this research company's gear, and they had grabbed all of the people who were working in this particular facility, threw them into these trucks, and brought them back, or at least in the direction of the research facility. So the group decided to follow the tracks and make their way to the research facility, and they started doing some investigation. They did some recon, and they discovered that some sort of terrorist organization has taken over this research facility, and that they're doing something to the people who they have kidnapped. Eventually, they discover that the leader of the group was a Tyranid from Warhammer 40K, or at least a gene stealer, and that they were using the biomass of the researchers and of the people that they took from the facility. And so when this giant Tyranid, so like a bug-like warrior, burst out of the wall and started attacking them, they were completely surprised and taken aback, and it was super hilarious. And it ended up being something that ended up showing up quite a few times now in the campaign. It's interesting that you bring up the Warhammer aspect of it. But thank you very much for your call. I am super appreciative of you listening and taking the time to call in. That's all the calls we got today, folks. I do have more calls in the hopper, but I really wanted to just get these ones out there, and my next episode I will answer some more. But if you feel like you want to call in and, you know, leave me a message, I will respond to it or not, as you choose. You can call me on my SpeakPipe. That's the Dungeon Plunger on SpeakPipe. The link is in the show notes of this episode. Also, you can write me an email, or you could leave me a message, a private message on Discord if we happen to be connected. All right, without further ado, let's get into the main topic, which, as I said at the very beginning, is called Think for Yourself and Question Authority. Apparently, this quote is attributed to the psychologist Timothy Leary, though, according to Wikipedia, it may have been Socrates that said something to that effect. I don't know. I just really like the way that sounds. Have any of you guys ever seen this cowboy dude that's on YouTube? I think it's called Dry Creek Wrangler. It's this old guy that, you know, he's got this big, sweet beard, and he wears a cowboy hat, and usually he sits in a chair, and he's smoking a cigar or a pipe. And then he goes off and he starts talking about some kind of a subject, usually something related to how to be a good man. And oftentimes he might make a little comment about how this applies to not just men, but people in general. He seems like a pretty open kind of dude, and he kind of seems to have his flaws, and or at least he admits to having his own flaws, and I think that's a good thing. And that's kind of what I want to talk about. I try to be authentic. I try to be myself. I try to be humble and realize that I don't know everything. And I don't want people who listen to this podcast to think, wow, this guy, he thinks he's got all the answers. Or, wow, this guy has all the answers. Because I don't have all the answers. And I want to talk about when I was a little kid. When I was little, maybe, I don't know, I must have been like 6 or 7, something like that. And I was taking the school bus. And when I was on the bus, I'd sit by the window. And it was pretty awesome. I was like, this is the best thing ever, man. Taking the school bus. I would sing to myself all the time. Usually I'd sing Star Wars theme music and whatever. It was pretty goofy. And whatever songs that I happened to know, which weren't that many. And there was this kid that would come on the bus and make fun of me. And he'd be like, hey, singing kid, every time. I took it personally, all the time. There was a time when I remember it was my first day of school. And my dad, all right, let's make your lunch for school tomorrow. He's like, what do you want? And I was like, you know, Dad, I love tuna sandwiches. And he was like, all right, let's make a tuna sandwich. So make tuna sandwiches. And I'm like super stoked. Next day, lunch comes and I get my tuna sandwich. Anybody who knows anything about fish products when you go to work or go to school or wherever, I mean, they got a smell, right? And so people were like, oh my God, that's disgusting. What's that smell? I was super embarrassed and I never brought tuna to school again. But now that I'm thinking about it, I kind of want to have a tuna sandwich for my lunch tomorrow. When I was in high school, there was this Star Wars novels had just come out. It had been years. There was no new Star Wars. There was no chance that we were going to get another trilogy. The Phantom Menace was just one of those things that was neither a phantom nor a menace. Timothy Zahn came out with this trilogy of novels that were just fantastic. It happened right after The Empire Strikes Back. And I was reading one of the novels. It was in paperback. I was so embarrassed to be reading Star Wars that I would keep the book in my pocket. Because back in those days, we had these giant pockets in our pants. Like, these jeans were massive. You know, the kind that, like, hung off of you. And even though you were wearing a belt, underwear were showing. And anyway, it was a different time. You're probably saying to yourself right about now, Jason, what the hell are you talking about? What does this have to do with anything? Well, let me tell you what it has to do with. You see, one day, I was at the used bookstore, and I found this book called The Subtle Art of Not Giving an F. This book is famous just because it's got the F word in it. And everyone's like, oh my gosh, it's got the F word in it. That's crazy, dude. But listen, I'd heard some negative things that this was like a junk book and that it was just one of those things to sell to make money. I read this book because I got it at the used bookstore. So I got it cheap. I think I got it for like $5. It was hardcover. And it was a good read. It was fun. I enjoyed it. And I realized that a lot of what was in it was probably related to Buddhism. I'm not really familiar with Buddhism, but I think I know enough of the concepts to kind of be like, yeah, I feel like this dude is just kind of riffing off of that philosophy. He gave it a new, fresh coat of paint. Essentially, what it all comes down to is that suffering is one of those things that we're never going to be able to get away from. You know, people are going to give you a hard time no matter what it is that you're into. It doesn't matter. You could live your life according to a whole lot of principles and ideals that some people think are, hey, these are good values and good ways of living your life. And then you're going to have a whole other group of people that are like, dude, that is the dumbest thing ever. Why would you even think that? Why would you even follow those people? Hey, don't you even know how to think for yourself? Why would you listen to those people? Why would you listen? Just question. You know, you should question these things. That's just it. You know, you're gonna have a hard time no matter what it is. So you might as well be authentic and believe in yourself and what your values are and not feel like you have to live up to other people's ideals. You're probably like, dude, what does this have to do with gaming? That's ridiculous. What are you talking about, brah? Is this a gaming podcast? Are we on a life podcast where I'm giving advice like some bearded cowboy smoking a cigar? I'll tell you right now, as a former nursing student, don't smoke. It's bad. Don't vape. It's bad. You know, you really shouldn't be putting anything in your lungs except for oxygen and whatever happens to be in the atmosphere. Preferably clean atmosphere and not that weird atmosphere. You know what I'm saying? But listen, I'm not going to tell you what to do. If you want to do a little of the, like, you know, what I'm talking about, then, you know, you do you, right? But don't come crying to me when you got negative consequences for those actions. What am I talking about? I'm talking about when you decide to play or run a game, pick the game that you want to play. Play the game that you want to play. Don't feel like you need to choose a system that other people say is the cool kid system. You know, there might be a lot of people playing 5th edition, and if that's your bag, that's great, man. Go for it. Don't feel like you need to justify it to anybody. If you want to play GURPS, go ahead and play GURPS. You know the best thing about GURPS is the name GURPS is freaking hilarious. Like, just say that to yourself. GURPS. I mean, we all know it stands for Generic Universal Role-Playing System, and even they knew that it was a joke back in the day when they made it. But that's just to show you how cool of a game it really is that they decided to keep that name. Do you want to play Crunchy Pathfinder? Do you want to play Call of Cthulhu? Do you want to play some indie game? Well, then you should do it. You know, some people might be like, ah, brah, that's a story game. Why do you want to play a story game? Why do you want to play a tactical war game? At the end of the day, these are all games and we should just be having fun and doing what we want to do and exploring things because you never know what you're going to like. But once you've gotten to a certain age, and you've done enough things, you kind of have an idea of what you like and what you don't like. And you shouldn't be ashamed of it. And that kind of comes back to what I'm saying. So that guy called me singing kid and I took it personally. You know what? Now when I'm at work, I sing all the time. That's right. I put my headphone in, I got my tunage on, and I start singing along. And you know what? I'm a pretty good singer sometimes. And maybe I like the stinky tuna. But you know what? Tuna's delicious and it's high in protein. You just don't want to eat too much, but you don't want to get mercury poisoning. And now, think about it. Me hiding that Star Wars novel. Star Wars is everywhere now. Star Wars is a thing. You know, comic books, and Star Wars, and even role-playing games. Back in the day, when I first started out, these were nerd things. It was something to be ashamed of. You didn't tell people. People would be like, hey, what are you up to this weekend? You're like, oh, I'm getting together with some friends. They'd be like, oh yeah, you're going drinking, you can do some partying. Oh yeah, yeah, we're going to do some partying. You know, the kind of partying that involves a wizard, a fighter, a cleric, and a thief. But yeah, people don't get it. And if you told them about role-playing, then they'd be like, oh bro, you're going to be wearing that, you're going to be wearing that pointy hat. You goddamn right I'm going to be wearing that pointy hat. But listen, the bottom line here is you need to be authentic. You need to think for yourself and you need to question the authority. Why you gotta listen to other people? Just do you, man. That's the only person that you gotta impress in this lifetime. So play the game and play those games with people who share the same kind of adventurous spirit that you have. And you know what? Eat the tuna sandwich at work, even if people think it smells funny. But don't eat the tuna sandwich if you have allergies to tuna, because that'll probably kill you. Even if you think that it's a good idea, I don't recommend it. All right, so don't be going and telling people, Jason said I should eat tuna sandwiches even though I'm allergic. All right, and that goes for all the other things that you might have an allergy for. Anyway, folks, that's all I got for this week. I just want to say thank you for all my listeners and to my callers, Carl, Jason, Vincent, and whoever you are, mysterious MPS guy. Music is by Alexander Kizunaku. Cover art by the extraordinary John McNally from the Pacific Northwest. I just wanted to say thanks to my loving and supportive wife, who makes this podcast possible with her awesomeness. Special thanks to Edward Valley for helping in creating the voice of Hector, the real Dungeon Plunger, and helping to collaborate with me on other crazy characters that you'll find in the Dungeon Plunger Union. You can call in and leave a message at speakpipe.com/thedungeonplunger, or feel free to send an email at dungeonplunger@gmail.com. Maybe you want to hang out with me on Blue Sky at the Dungeon Plunger. And remember, folks, when you're plunging into the dungeon and nature calls, watch out for mimics disguised as toilets, because they're a pain in the butt. Peace out, plungers up, and elbows up. Until next time, take care.
Greetings, listener! This is I, Hector, the real Dungeon Plunger. Not that milk drinker Jason. We in the dungeon always appreciate whatever love you can give us. So please, share the podcast, send your messages, and do anything that will unclog our algorithm. We really appreciate it. Plungers up! We'll be right back.